Amen. Well, let us continue to worship God as we give our attention to His Word as it comes to us in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 29, where we continue in our series in Deuteronomy and where Moses was seeking to equip the next generation of Israelites to take possession of and to prosper in the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning in verse 1. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, so that you shall dispossess them, and Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their lands, which he destroyed when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, so they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting that I may commission him. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tent of meeting. And the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud. And the pillar of cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers. Then this people will rise and whore after the foreign gods among them in the land that they are entering. And they will forsake me and break my covenant that I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be devoured. And many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us. And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil that they have done, because they have turned to other gods. Now therefore write this psalm and teach it to the people of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the people of Israel. For when I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to give to their fathers, and they have eaten and are full and grown fat, they will turn to other gods and serve them and despise me and break my covenant. And when many evils and troubles have come upon them, this song shall confront them as a witness, for it will live unforgotten in the mouths of their offspring. For I know what they are inclined to do even today, before I have brought them into the land that I swore to give. So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the people of Israel. And the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you." When Moses had finished writing the words of this law in a book to the very end, Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, "Take this book of the law and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be therefore a witness against you. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? Assemble to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death you will surely act corruptly and turn aside from the way that I have commanded you. And in the days to come, evil will befall you, because you will do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger through the works of your hands." So far the reading of God's holy word. To his name be praise and glory. Let's look to God once again in prayer. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. So we ask that as we look into your written word and as we prepare to feast upon the body and blood of your Son by faith, that you will cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the gracious ministry of your Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love and serve you and more worthily magnify your name. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Jesus was foreshadowed by the anointed servants of the Lord in the Old Testament. We have seen that with God's servant Moses, that was certainly the case. The way that God protected him as an infant. The way God called him from among Israel to shepherd Israel, lead Israel out of bondage, serve as mediator between God and Israel, and reveal his will to Israel. Moses was faithful in all these things. Faithful, but not perfect. A deliverer, but not a complete deliverer. So God raised up Joshua to complete the deliverance of his people from Egypt into the promised land. God raised up another servant leader who, like Moses, would point to the final deliverer, the ultimate servant of the Lord, Jesus himself. This evening, I want us to consider this passage in terms of Joshua's call to serve and how that pointed forward to Jesus. And then, by way of application, how it informs our service for the Lord and his people. In the first place, Joshua's call to serve and how it pointed forward to Jesus. As Andrew Murray put it, Jesus is both our Moses who delivers us from bondage and our Joshua who delivers us into the promised land. Jesus is that complete, perfect, all-sufficient Savior. Jesus, not Moses or Joshua or anyone else, is the Savior of God's people. But as the one called to lead God's people into the promised land, Joshua pointed forward to Jesus in a number of ways. Let's note three of them briefly from our passage this evening: his name, his calling, and his courage all pointed to Jesus. First, his name. This one whom God raised up to lead his people into the promised land was named Joshua, or Yehoshua, a Hebrew name that means Yahweh is salvation, or salvation is of Yahweh, or of the Lord, or even Yahweh, or the Lord saves. Through Joshua, the Lord was going to save his people. He's going to give them victory over their enemies and establish them in the land which he had promised them. Well, the name Jesus, or Yeshua, is a Hebrew and Aramaic form of the name Yehoshua, or Joshua. And thus the name Jesus likewise means Yah, or Yahweh, saves. So unmistakably, the name of Joshua, the temporal servant of the Lord, and his temporal deliverance of God's people pointed forward to the eternal servant of the Lord and the eternal salvation that he would bring to all who trust in him, Jew and Gentile alike. Secondly, Joshua's calling, as we've already touched on, pointed forward to Jesus. God's calling on Joshua's life was clear. Moses said to Joshua in verse 7, "You shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it." That was Joshua's calling. Put God's people in possession of God's land. And the Lord himself commissioned Joshua in verse 23, saying essentially the same thing. "You shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you." God called Joshua to take his people into his land, the promised land, their land, and possess it. And that is exactly what Joshua did in the strength of the Lord. In the same way, God called Yeshua, Jesus, to deliver us from our sin and misery and bring us into the promised land of his eternal life now and forevermore, which we will experience with him ultimately in the new land, the Eretz, the new earth, when he comes again and makes all things new. That is what Jesus, anointed by God's Spirit, has done and ultimately will do for us. As Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 puts it, Jesus has brought many sons to glory. He's brought us into possession of glory, of eternal life with God, irrevocably adopted into God's eternal family. He has brought all who believe in him out of sin, misery, and death, and into the glory of eternal life in him. Joshua's name, Joshua's calling pointed to Jesus. And thirdly, Joshua's courage pointed to Jesus. Joshua, you may remember, had already exhibited great courage for the Lord and his people. Remember that he was one of the 12 spies that Moses sent into Canaan to spy out the land. 10 of the spies brought back the majority report. They said, "It's scary over there. We're not going. There are giants in the land. We cannot take them. Let's retreat." Joshua and Caleb brought back the minority report, and they basically said, "It is pretty scary over there, but we can take it. God has promised us this land, and if we'll step out in faith and trust in him, he'll go with us and we will take it." They said in Numbers 13:30, "Let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we are well able to overcome it." That's courage. That's stepping out in faith. That's confidence, as we talked about this morning. After the service, Bill Collinger was talking about the sermon, and he reminded me that the word confidence comes from the French, I think through the French, from the Latin, confidence, confide, with or full of faith. That's confidence. I said, Bill, you're supposed to give me these little nuggets before the sermon. But he gave it to me before this sermon. So here I am sharing and giving Bill the footnote. Confidence with faith, full of faith. That was Joshua. Strong and courageous. But you know what? Even those who are full of faith, even those who are strong and courageous in the Lord, need encouragement to continue to be strong and courageous in the Lord. The Lord knows that we are but dust. He knows our frame, so He comes alongside us through His word, through His servants, through His means of grace to encourage us. Remember what that word means. It means to infuse courage in us. And so we hear Moses and then the Lord saying to Joshua in commissioning him, be strong and courageous. And these are two of at least seven examples where the Lord comes to Joshua and says, be strong and courageous. He's constantly seeking to encourage, to infuse strength and courage and confidence in his servant, that his servant would be faithful to lead his people in taking the land that he had promised. And of course, if we look forward into Joshua chapter 10, what do we see Joshua doing? He's telling the people, be strong and of good courage. You see, those who are encouraged encourage others. It's just the natural overflow. As we seek strength and courage from the Lord, we are equipped to encourage and strengthen the saints of God. Well, this courageous service pointed forward to Jesus, who courageously, you know, we often think about the attributes of Jesus. We think of His love, we think of His mercy, we think of His grace, we think of His truth. We think of all of these attributes, the sacrificial nature of our Lord. But, you know, C.S. Lewis said, in a sense, the greatest of all virtues is courage. Because if you don't have courage, you can't carry out the other virtues as God calls you to do. Well, Jesus is courageous. Sometimes we forget about the courage of our Lord. The courage of Joshua pointed forward to the courage of Jesus, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and who ultimately set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He went there and prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. And he courageously went through all that he went through so that we could enter the promised land. He went through the betrayal and the beating and the mockery and the forsakenness and the nakedness and the shame and the agony and the death of the cross so that we can have eternal life in Him. This meal is a commemoration and a celebration of that courage. In a meal of thanksgiving, a Eucharistic meal. That's what Eucharist means. A meal of thanksgiving to Jesus for His courage. The courage of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who laid down His life for us. So, the name and the calling and the courage of Joshua, the Lord's servant, pointed forward to the service of Jesus on our behalf. And in the second place, This passage has three encouragements for us as we seek to serve the Lord, which I briefly want to mention by way of application. We are called to serve the Lord and His people by faith, with courage, and through song. First, we are called to serve the Lord by faith. Faith in our Joshua, our Savior, our Head, Jesus, our Lord. We are to rely on Him to fuel our service for Him and others by the oil of gladness, His Spirit, as we serve others. You know, where the rubber meets the road, in our home, in our workplace, in our church, in our community. We serve through faith in Jesus so that He will enable us by His Spirit to serve like Him. As we read earlier in our service, He said, even the Son of Man, and that's a messianic term from Daniel chapter 7. The Son of Man is pictured as one who is high and lifted up, being worshipped and adored, having all glory and all dominion. Jesus said, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Literally, He didn't come to be deaconed. He came to deacon and to give His life as a ransom for many. The only way that we can grow as James and John grew, away from seeking fame and seeking power and seeking to be top dog and becoming more like Jesus, is to ask Jesus to fill us with His Spirit that we might grow in serving like Him. Second, we are called to serve with courage. Notice that it wasn't just Joshua who was called to be courageous. All God's children were called to be courageous. In verse 6 of our passage, Moses said to all of them, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, your enemies. Man, this theme of confidence, of courage, don't be in the battle afraid. That's a constant theme of Scripture, isn't it? For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So Jesus told His disciples the same thing. And for example, in John 6:20, He said, it is I, do not be afraid. And in Matthew 28:20, in the context of giving them the Great Commission, He said, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And third, we are called to serve through song and by way of application, all the means of grace, these channels of blessing that God has ordained by which God's people are built up and God is glorified. You may have noticed in verse 19 and again in verse 21 of our passage that the song of Moses, which is recorded in chapter 32, in which he taught the people, was to be sung by God's people from generation to generation as a witness for God. To confront them, as Moses put it, to confront God's people with their sin and call them back to faith in Him. So this inspired song was not only a song by which God's people praise God, it was a song by which God's people admonished one another, addressed one another, and called each other back to faith in their redeeming God. And of course, that kind of thing continues in the church today. St. Paul said in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Don't forget that as you come here faithfully for corporate worship, and you sing God's truth, you are serving your brothers and sisters in Christ. As you sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," you're reminding the people seated next to you of God's great faithfulness. As you sing of the wondrous cross, you're reminding them of the wondrous cross of Jesus, and you're calling them back to that wondrous cross. As you sing, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord's name," you're calling them out of themselves and preoccupation with self, and you're calling them to lift up their eyes and to worship their God. You're serving the Lord, yes, you're worshiping the Lord through song, but you're serving your brothers and sisters as you sing God's word. And by way of application, as you do everything else in worship, as you confess your sins corporately and confess your faith and pray and partake of this meal, as you pass this plate, as you pass the bread, as you pass the cup, as you partake of this meal together, you are encouraging your brothers and sisters in Christ to likewise partake, to look away from self and to Jesus, and to feast on Him. Don't ever, ever forget the way you serve one another through corporate worship of your God. So let us worship our courageous Savior, draw near to Him, draw courage from Him, and encourage one another as we partake this meal together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.